Amen. I appreciate the specials tonight. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, we're going to pick up here at verse 29. And in this section of scriptures, in this interaction the Lord has with the people gathered thick together around him, we kind of stopped about halfway through that. We want to finish up this portion tonight. So if you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's word. We're going to pray before we read tonight. I know that confuses us all, but that's what we're going to do. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to come and to sing your praises tonight, to spend time in your holy word. God, I pray that you give us an appreciation, just to realize what a precious gift you've given us in the written word, that we can know you, not just know about you, but through the living word we can know you. Through your spirit we can be taught and guided into all truth. I pray that you would speak to our hearts here tonight. Father, I pray that the light of the gospel, the light of Christ, has shone into the heart of every person here. And Lord, I pray for those who are not saved that today they would repent of their sin and unbelief and trust in Christ. I pray that our eyes would be single, clear, that you'd take away the blindness that's blinded our eyes because of sin and Satan, and that you'd help us to clearly see and know you. Please help us to go from here encouraged and equipped to take the gospel to the world around us. Father, thank you for this church, and please bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain standing. We're going to read beginning of verse 29. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." Our Heavenly Father, we pray again, you'll bless your word. Help now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So last week, we spent a little time in verses 29 through 32 talking about the sign of the prophet Jonah. We know that Jonah got called by God to go to Nineveh, so he turned around and went exactly the opposite direction. He went down away from the Lord, down to Joppa, down into the ship, away from God. But we also know that you can't flee from the presence of the Lord. So he tried to run away, it didn't work out. God sent a great storm, and all the people on the ship were scared to death. They did everything they could to save the ship. When they realized there was no hope, they started praying and crying out to their gods. And Jonah just said, "It's me, I'm the problem." And they pleaded with the God of heaven to not lay this into their charge, but they took Jonah and threw him out into the ocean, and when he left the ship, the storm stopped. But that wasn't the end of it for Jonah. He'd rather die than go to Nineveh, but God had prepared a great fish or a well that swallowed him up whole, and he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of that beast. And when he finally realized that God wasn't just going to kill him, he repented. And he was vomited up on the seashore, and God came to him the second time and said, "Go to Nineveh." And this time he said, "Okay." And he went. Jonah was as good as dead. 3 days and three nights. He described being in the belly of that well as being in hell, is what he called it, being as good as dead. And he came back from the death after 3 days and three nights, and he came and preached repentance to the people of Nineveh. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, that's the only sign you're going to get. Because as Jonah was assigned to the Ninevites, I will be assigned to you. And we know that just like Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of that whale, Jesus spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the heart of the earth. And he came back from the dead. And he rose again, preaching the same thing he preached when he started his earthly ministry. Repent and believe the gospel. So he's telling this group of people that's pressed together. They want a sign, but he said, I'm not going to give you a sign. Jesus had already given them many signs. He'd done many signs and wonders and miraculous things. And he said, this is the only sign that's going to matter to you, because I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. And that ought to wake you up. Amen. Praise God, it did wake some people up. But then he comes to verse 33. He warns them that the queen of Sheba, she will be able to condemn the men of that age, because one greater than Solomon was there, Jesus himself. He's the one that gave Solomon all of his wisdom and all of his wealth. And he says the men of Nineveh are going to rise up in judgment against you, because there's one greater than Jonah here. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. I am the word of life, and you won't repent at my preaching. You're going to be condemned by them. And he says in verse 33, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place. Now, there's a couple of ways the Lord uses light as a picture for us today. First of all, the light we see is the shining of the gospel. The light is the gospel. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. God didn't send the gospel to be hidden in a corner. God didn't send the gospel to hide under a bed or put a basket over the top of it. God sent the gospel to be preached to every creature, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus told the church when they received power from the Holy Ghost that they would be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The Lord wants the gospel to be held up. He wants the gospel to be a beacon for the world. He doesn't want the gospel to be hidden. He said, I want the gospel to go and to be preached to every creature. When Paul preached in Acts 26:26, he said, the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. Listen, what happened with Jesus of Nazareth, how he was crucified and how he rose again, it wasn't a secret thing, it wasn't a hidden thing, and it was commonly known. And then the whole church went out and preached it to everywhere. They filled Jerusalem with their doctrine of the death and resurrection of Christ. They turned the entire Roman Empire upside down by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, friends. And God wants the gospel to be shown to the world. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Amen. You know, when we sing this little light of mine, we don't hold our light down here. You're supposed to hold it up here as high as you can, right? Amen. And you don't hide it under a bushel. No! Thank you. God bless you. I'm going to let it shine, right? Now, we sing the verse, won't let Satan blow it out. I just got to be honest with you. I don't care for that verse because it's not scriptural. Satan can't blow your light out. Amen. He can't. Once the light of the gospel is in you, Satan can't do anything about that. Amen. And if it's hidden, you can blame the devil if you want to, but if you're hiding the gospel light that's been given to you, it's not the devil's fault, it's your fault. Amen. But God's called us to shine the light. It's pretty obvious. Listen, when you go home tonight, if, you know, it gets dark a lot later now, but sun sets after 8 o'clock. It doesn't really get dark till about 9 o'clock. And when you go home tonight and you want some light in the house, you don't put a cover over the light. That's silly. We want our lights to shine in our house. What good would it be? How silly would it be to light a candle and just putting something over it? I mean, when Jesus gives this illustration, it's kind of like, duh. But isn't that what we do with the gospel so many times? Listen, friends, too many churches want to hide the gospel inside the walls of their building. There are too many pastors in churches today that never preach the gospel outside the walls of their building. They can mollify their, their conscience a little bit and say, well, I preached the gospel to a lot of people today. But listen, if they're not preaching it out in their community, they're not doing what God has called them to do. And let me tell you something, friends, it's no different for you than it is for me as the pastor. The gospel has got to be proclaimed outside of this building. This light of the gospel is for the whole world to see. And we want to lift up the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's to be supreme. It's to be the main thing. We lift it up. We put it on a candlestick. We put it up high so that it gives light to everybody. We've been called to share that gospel. There's the light of the shining gospel. There was the sign we saw last week for that sinful generation, but there's the light of the shining gospel. No man, when he has lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place. It's not hidden. We put it out where everybody can see. And then in verse 34, he talks about light again, but he says the light of the body is the eye. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. So in verse 33, the light represents the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in verse 34, the light represents something different. The light represents your ability to see and understand the gospel. You see, these people who gathered around Jesus, they heard him speak the gospel. They saw him perform miracles, but they had no understanding because their foolish hearts were darkened. Their minds were blinded. Their eyes were blinded to the truth of the gospel. So the gospel, there's nothing wrong with the light of the gospel, but there can be something wrong with the light of your eye. You can come to the Lord blinded by your sin, blinded by Satan. Blinded to the truth. The light of the body is the eye. It's our ability to see and understand. We still use it that way today. When somebody tells you something and you don't understand, you say, I don't get it, and they explain it some more, and you go, oh, I see. Right? We say, well, I understand. And that's exactly the way the Lord's using this here. There's this blindness that people have no understanding. They don't see the truth. Therefore, when your eye is single, when your eye is whole, when your eye works the way that it's supposed to, then your whole body is full of light. When you see and understand the scripture, the gospel light can come in and he changes you completely. In other words, friends, when you get the gospel, you don't get just a little bit of light. The gospel isn't on a dimmer switch. When you get it all. And it changes everything. Matthew 15, verses 13 and 14 speaks about this blindness. When he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now Jesus was talking about the spiritual blindness of the Pharisees. And you need to be careful who you're following. We need to make sure we got the gospel right. But we need to make sure that our eyes are ready to see and understand. The gospel enters through our understanding. I don't know about you, but I heard the gospel a lot before I was born again. And it's an amazing thing, because when I think back on it, some of the sermons that I heard and different things, I can't remember a lot, But you know, I'm just pretty sure that the preaching didn't change a lot along the way. It was probably very much the same along the way. And I kept seeing, but I didn't see. I kept hearing, but I didn't hear, until one day, my eyes were opened and I saw. My ears were open and I heard. My heart was open and I received that truth. And that's what he's talking about, is that understanding. He gives a warning in verse 35 of an evil light. Take heed therefore that that light which is in thee be not darkness. Be careful. Be careful that the light which is in thee be not darkness. You know, Jesus spent a lot of time warning his disciples about false doctrine. He warned them about the leaven of the Pharisees in Matthew 16. Verse 11, he says, How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning the bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. You see, the Pharisees and Sadducees and so many that were gathered around Jesus that day, they thought they had light. They thought they had understanding, but the light that was in them wasn't light at all. It was darkness. The light that was in them, their understanding of what God required of them, their religion, their religiosity was not true. It was false. And so they thought that they had a light, but it wasn't light at all. They were filled with darkness. And so the Lord says, be careful that the light that is in you is not darkness. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Over and over, we could spend a lot of time tonight going through the scriptures and warnings that are given to Timothy, warnings that Jude gives, warnings throughout the New Testament of false teachers. Friends, I want you to know that the world is filled with false teachers today. Amen. And it's really telling, I mean, all the things that he says to talk about and describe them. But, boy, here's a real good one for your television preachers right there. Supposing gain is godliness. This health and wealth, prosperity gospel that's filled our country today, what is it? They're preaching about your best life now. They're preaching about if you do this and this and this, then God's going to reward you now. All the while, they're not warning you of sin, and they're not warning you of the judgment to come. They're not preaching repentance. They're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They want you to be worried about everything right now. But what about the day of judgment? What about when you stand before God? Amen. They're doting about stuff they don't even know what they're talking about. Amen. They take the scriptures and they wrest them. The Bible says they twist them to say whatever they want them to say. I told you before, I was driving along one day and kind of scanning through the channels. This was years ago, and I came across somebody preaching, and I thought, yeah, that's not too bad. They said a lot of good things. And then they said something. It was like, hold on a second, that doesn't sound right. So I get myself in trouble sometimes. But I got my Bible and was trying to follow along while I was listening. But up until that point, she was doing a really good job. I'll just be honest, I wasn't sure which way. I didn't know at first, but it took me a while, I figured it out. But literally, this person preaching on the radio literally read a verse, skipped two verses, read part of a verse, skipped three more verses, and she took the scriptures and twisted them and skipped them to make her sermon say exactly the opposite of what the Word of God says. Now, not everybody's going to get their Bible and make sure they're getting the truth. Not everybody's going to check it to see whether those things are so. But friends, if you just didn't know any better and were listening, you might think, man, that sounds really good. I want you to understand that there are false teachers all around. You need to be careful. You need to be careful. I want to remind you again that we ought to be like the Bereans. You ought to search the scriptures whether those things are so. I promise you, I'm not going to intentionally stand up here and preach something wrong. I'm not going to do it. I'll be honest, I'm too proud for that. I don't like getting rebuked. I don't like it when somebody has to come to me and say, you said something wrong, preacher. I don't like that very much. Listen, I want to stand here and I want to preach the truth. I'm not going to do it intentionally. I'm not going to say something wrong on purpose. But I make mistakes. Thanks, Brother Mike. Appreciate you. You've got to search the scriptures on your own. You've got to make sure that what's being said is right. He warns that you could have something in you. You might think it's light, but it could in fact be darkness. Listen to me. Those Pharisees didn't look at themselves as false teachers. They thought they had the truth. Those Sadducees didn't think they were false teachers. They thought they had the truth. Listen to me. There are people who have been deceived, and they are deceiving. God help us that we would get in the Word and be led of the Spirit and learn the truth. There's the entrance of the light, the eye, the evil light, that darkness that could be in you, and the extent of the light. Look at verse 36. This is beautiful. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light. Look at it. Having no part dark. The whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Listen, when you get the light of the gospel, when God opens your eyes to the truth of the gospel, when you repent and trust in Christ alone, when His Spirit comes and lives inside of you, He doesn't just give you a little bit of light. He fills you up with light. And He says, there is no part dark, but the whole shall be full of light. He gives us His marvelous light. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14 says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Friends, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 14 he says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And when the gospel light shines on you, it's reproving. And the children of men, we don't love the light. We hate the light. We love the darkness because our deeds are evil. But when the light of the gospel shined on you and your sin was exposed and you were reproved of God and you repented of that sin and you turned to God, He gave you light. You rose up from the dead. Amen. He woke you up. He's given you His gospel light. I love what F.B. Meyer said about it. Listen to this. Will you not ask whether Christ has ever kindled you with His divine light and life? You have the capacity for God, but this is not enough. Christ must give you light. Seek the clear shining of the inner light and remember that it will grow clearer and brighter just in proportion as it is obeyed and followed. What a glorious conception this is, that the Lord Jesus shall so fill us with the radiance and warmth of His love that there shall be no part dark. He is able to save them to the uttermost. When we come to Him, come to God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, it makes a man examine himself. Jesus says that if you have darkness, the whole body's full of darkness. But He says if you have light, then the whole body is light and there's no darkness at all. And so today, tonight and every day, as you examine your heart before the Lord, you know, David used to pray to God all the time, search my heart, try me, O Lord, search me and see if there be any wicked way in me. He was willing to come before God completely exposed and say, God, here I am. Show me what's wrong. Show me what's not right. Amen. You know, friends, we need to do that each and every day. We need to come before God and be exposed before Him, because the truth is there shouldn't be any darkness in our hearts and minds. There shouldn't be any darkness in our life. We should be walking in the light as He is in the light, because He's given us light. Will you not ask whether Christ has ever kindled you with His divine light and life? Will you not look into your heart and say, Lord, have You given me life? Lord, have You raised me from the dead? Lord, have You given me light? I believe this. I believe deep down in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl, we know. We know deep down. We might deceive ourselves. We might suppress the truth with our unrighteousness and all those things. But deep down in the quiet parts of our heart, we know. I think a man knows if he died tonight whether he'd go to heaven or hell. I think a woman knows deep down in her heart where her eternal destiny is. I think people who have been born again and have been given the light of Jesus Christ, they know they have that light. We ought to examine ourselves, make sure we have that light. And if we've been given that light, then we need to faithfully take that light to others. We let our light shine by doing good works. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." When the light of the gospel has come into a life, it ought to bring about change. They say in Madagascar, when somebody wanted to get baptized, they would ask them, "What first led you to think of becoming a Christian?" And one of them said this, "I knew this man to be a thief. That one was a drunkard. Another was very cruel and unkind to his family. Now, they are all changed. The thief is an honest man, the drunkard is sober and respectable, and the other is gentle and kind in his home. There must be something in this Christian religion that can work such changes." Now, there is something in the Christian religion that can work changes. It's not something, it's someone. And it's Christ alone. Do you have his light? If you do, are you sharing that light? Let's stand together as we get ready for an invitation. Never been born again. You look in your heart tonight and you go, "I don't know." You go, I don't understand a lot of this, but I know deep down in my heart, if I died right now, I'd go to hell. I know it. Jesus Christ died for you. The light of the gospel is available to you, but you must receive him by faith. You've got to trust in him. Not in your works, not in anything else. You trust in Christ alone. You can be saved tonight. If you've been saved, you've never been baptized, you need to make that decision tonight to follow Christ in baptism. Maybe tonight you know you're saved, you know you're baptized, you're trying to live for him, but you know somebody who isn't saved. You want to shine the light of the gospel into their life. You need to pray for them to be saved. Pray for yourself to have the courage to be a witness. I just want to invite you tonight. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. You need to be saved. You need to be baptized. You need to pray for someone else. Whatever it is, will you come right now while we sing?
Page 563.